Praise the Lord. What a wonderful night in the house of the Lord as we lift up our hearts to the Lord. Well, tonight, the message title is Speak the Word Only. Speak the Word Only. I have one scripture to begin, Matthew 8:8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I want to remind us tonight to speak the word only. I know I'm playing with words here, but it's a true word. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I'm the servant, and I need the word. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions, from their distresses. He sent his word and healed the people of their distresses, of their destructions, of their afflictions. Physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing, circumstantial healing, anxiety, fears, things that plague the human system. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Proverbs 4:20-23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. They are life to those who find them. Seek and you will find, the Bible says. They are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. A touch on the physical part of our lives. Keep your heart with all diligence. Guard it. It's like a garden. You have to pull the weeds. You have to tend to your garden daily, taking out anything that could be poisonous or affect it in an adverse way. You know, the devil is always trying to blow dandelions in across the fence. And you have to take care of the garden of your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We get into trouble when we come off the ground of truth and begin to say things that are contrary to the Word of God. When we begin to speak out of our own emotion or over out of our own mind, we know that the enemy is always trying to defeat us, to bring us down, to break us, break our faith, break our resolve, our vision. And so we must be vigilant. This takes a lot of vigilance to live a victorious Christian life all day long, every day. To bring every thought into captivity, every thought, every feeling into captivity to the obedience of Christ. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. Resist him. Stay steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In Ephesians 4:27, the Bible says, nor give place to the devil. Don't give any place to the devil in your emotions, in your speech, in your view of life, in your vision. Don't give the enemy any foothold. Give him no place, because he wants to establish a beachhead and then move up the shores of our life and take more and more of our land and more of our inheritance. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. Speak the word only. and my servant shall be healed. Ephesians 6:10-11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the cunning, the trickery of the devil. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And so we understand that we must secure the armor of God on our lives. Every part of the armor secured, and the sword of the Spirit, that rhema word, that quickened word, that sword to be tight in our hands. This is the fight of faith. This is the warfare. I want to encourage you tonight, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Come out of our distress, come out of our destructions and afflictions and memories and traumas and whatever it is that has plagued our lives. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. There's healing as we speak that word of God and push out the thoughts, push out that placement that the enemy would like to get in our minds and in our emotions, in our speech. Now, we war on an individual basis, but further, we war and battle against cultural temptations. There are satanic trends and assaults that go out across the nations. And they're released at times. The Bible says that these demonic assaults are like smoke belching out of a great furnace. And the furnace is the abyss, the place of the demons, the place where the demons abide. It's called the abyss. And Satan is lord over that abyss. And once in a while, as he can, all of a sudden, there will be smoke and soot and ashes that break out of this furnace. And they come across the land. And that soot and that ash can really sting your eyes and affect your breathing. But we're wise to the enemy, and we understand that he not only battles us personally, but he battles the culture. He battles in the nation. Now, Revelation 9:1-3 is a picture of this abyss and of this demonic onslaught that takes place as the furnace of the abyss is fired up. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. That fallen star is Satan, Lucifer. How art thou fallen, O Lucifer? And in the rest of the chapter, it says very clearly that this is the devil. He's called the destroyer, Apollyon or Abaddon. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened. Darkness on the earth. Light blotted out. The sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. Demonic hordes, spoken of as locusts, covering the land, going everywhere at once. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power to sting, to bite, to poison, to hurt and harm men and women of earth. This release of smoke out of the abyss, this fire of hell, this soot and ash cast across, this darkness cast across the people, across the culture. There is no other explanation that is plausible for certain prevailing conditions that seem to come in a moment, and they cover the land and they take hold of the people. Mindsets and ideologies. And I believe even stronghold sicknesses You look at some generations, you look at some centuries. Certain sicknesses, certain afflictions of the enemy came across the cultures, and many people were bitten by these scorpions, and many people died. Of course, the world tries to find a remedy. It's this or it's that. It's some other thing. You know, there are stronghold sicknesses today that are in the culture. And the medical experts can't believe the percentage of how some of these things have taken hold in the culture, even in the last 10, 20 years, in children and adults. These stronghold sicknesses that are like a stranglehold on the culture. Satanic afflictions. And we know how the enemy wars in our generation and time. And there are certain things that we face in battle as the people of God. I'm with those who say there will always be some casualties in this holy war that we wage. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we battle these things. You know, if you think back on some of these satanic assaults, these trends. Think back in the late 1800s, how all of a sudden the theory of evolution, it's like it came out in the late 1800s and it covered the land. Yes, there was opposition at the first by many places, but today, Christian science isn't even taught. The biblical view isn't even taught across the schools of the nations. This satanic smoke that came out of the abyss and covered the land so that the voice of the Bible and the creation of God is not even heard except in some Christian schools. That is how that has taken hold. You think of abortion, how it was contested and debated. And here we are. Man, we protested in the 1970s and early 80s. And here we are, it's like that satanic smoke and darkness and soot that covered the land, it's like a moot point today. The culture has moved on. Even the governments have moved on. It's just the way it is. It's no longer if it's right or wrong. It's just how we conduct it and to what level. That's a satanic smoke that covered the land. And today it's even entrenched in the laws of the land. And people are protected by those laws. Even this is such a great wickedness. In the 1960s and 70s, the sexual revolution. Free love and make love, not war. And how quickly that took hold in a few years until today. Here we are a generation down the line and promiscuity and immorality is accepted. It's not even questioned. It's kind of monitored and hopefully regulated to some way. But today, people living together outside of the bonds of marriage, nobody even raises an eyebrow. It's just the way it is. Do you see how that invasion takes place? Cultural invasions. The drug culture. How about the gambling spirit? How many have seen that smoke come out of the abyss in the last few years? I mean, all of a sudden, it's everywhere. Gambling campaigns and ads. You can hardly watch TV programming, especially sports, without a constant inundation of the gambling spirit. That is a smoke out of the pit to destroy families and destroy finances and destroy people and get them onto something that is an attraction of the devil that will hurt them. Oh, he comes like an angel of light, doesn't he? Get your 50-50, help the community, provide for those in need. And behind it is the destruction of the enemy to bring a generation down. So he just casts that lure, doesn't he? Over and over, he just casts the lure. Wow, it sparkles and shines in the water. I'm not going to take up the gambling spirit, people say. And the lure comes by again, and you know what it is, like with a fish. Fish doesn't usually take the hook the first time. And these merchants of darkness know that. That's why they're so persistent. Cast it out, it flashes, stay away. After a while, the fish gets a little closer, doesn't it? And then all of a sudden, the angler will feel the fish hit the lure. But if fish hasn't taken the lure yet, and then all of a sudden, he's got the fish. And the enemy is fishing for souls. And Jesus Christ is fishing for souls. These demonic cultural invasions, belching smoke out of the abyss, this furnace of hell. You think in our day, all of a sudden, within months or a year or two, everybody has a mental health crisis. That's all they talk about, mental health crisis. How does that take hold so quickly? That is a demonic spirit to break down a culture, break down their resolve and their will and their future. So we deal with these things. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Speak the word only. He sent his word and healed the people and delivered them from all these destructions. I have three quick points to end tonight. Number one, speak the word only. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation, the musings of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them. Food is fuel. Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. We live above the world by the power of the word of God. That's our victory. That's our victory. We have no strength, we have no safety, but the word of God. It is our life. And we receive it. There is an answer for every circumstance, every trial, every situation, everything we are going through all day long. There is a word of God that will answer that situation. Yes, Jesus is the answer, but he also has an answer for everything we face all day long, every stress, every trial, every problem, every discomfort, every fear. He has an answer. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega. That is the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. He is the A to Z, we say. And when you have an alphabet, and Jesus is that alphabet, in our English, 26 letters. And with an alphabet, you can create all the words you want that will speak to anybody about any given situation. Isn't that right? Jesus Christ is that alphabet. And God arranges Jesus personally to each of our lives, whatever we're going through, there's the answer. There's the word. That's what God's saying to me right now, and we must be quick to listen and hear all day long. Lord, what are you saying? How are you guiding me right now? Speak the word only. Speak the word only. Now, we can talk about world conditions, world problems. We can talk about our struggles. We can talk about our circumstances. But we do not do it with a spirit of defeat. We do it with a spirit of searching for answer, of looking for the word of the Lord. You know, David knew how to pour out his heart to God. He spoke plainly to the Lord. He told the Lord what he was facing and how he was feeling and the deep and inner things that were bothering him. He knew how to pour out his heart to the Lord, but he always did it in an honoring way, not in an accusing, not out of self-pity. He did it in an honoring way, and because of it, his soul was lifted up. He knew how to lift up his soul unto God. Psalm 42, 6 to 11. O God, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. The deep in God to the deep in us. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, his song shall be with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. That is how we come before the Lord. We can pour out our heart, but we do it. We honor the name of the Lord. We remember his mercy, his goodness. We call upon his character, his loving kindness. And then we lift up our soul and say, Lord, I will hope in God. I will yet praise you. I know you will be the help of my countenance. You are my God and my rock. Number one tonight, speak the word only. Speak the word only. That's our refuge. That's our safety. Number two, speak the word at the point of attack. Matthew 4:4. But Jesus answered and said, as the devil was tempting him, coming against him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How are we going to live? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Notice what Jesus said. He said to the devil, it is written. Not, it was written. Something written long ago in this book. Jesus says, it is written. That the word of God, written so long ago now, Old Testament, New Testament, that it is powerful and effectual for every need and circumstance of our present day life as we walk day to day. You know what Jesus did? Temptation of the enemy came against him. Jesus reached back 1,500 years to the book of Moses and pulled out a dagger and thrust it into the enemy. It is written. So we speak the word at the point of attack. And sometimes the attack is subtle. But the longer we walk with the Lord, my, we can feel that enemy coming in at us. What he's saying, trying to infiltrate us, get our mind off the things they should be on, get us too preoccupied, too caught up with the things of this world over which we have no control. But my, they can trouble and bother us. Speak the word at the point of attack. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the cleansing blood, the blood that dealt with our sin, the blood that washes us, the blood that runs hot in our veins. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What they spoke, what they confessed, and they did not love their lives to the death. They did not love their lives even to death, full surrender. Not loving our own life, loving the Jesus-like life, wanting to serve the Lord. I remember a minister friend of mine years ago now was dealing with a young man who wanted to end his life. The young man said, I have nothing to live for. I don't value my life. I don't want to live for myself. I don't care about my life. I want to end it all. He said to him, you may not want to live for yourself, but why don't you live for Jesus? Get a vision for your life. Yeah, it can be a little discouraging if you're living for yourself, especially when things are difficult and there's a lot of opposition and maybe criticism, and maybe you try a lot of things and they don't come to fruition. And all of a sudden, that discouragement. And the enemy is there. The thief comes not but to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his purpose. And some are so beaten down by the enemy. That's why the Bible says, God of heaven anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about healing all who were beaten down by the devil. Yeah, our life may not seem like much. You say, man, what am I living for? All the struggle, all the trial, day to day, trying to make ends meet, maybe trying to get a job, just such difficulties that people face, struggling with pain and sickness and maybe other things and family problems. I don't want to live for myself. Well, why don't you live for Jesus? And all day long, you have this vision and project. All day long, I'm working out the victory of Jesus Christ. All day long, I'm talking to the Lord. All day long, I'm communing and growing in my relationship with the Lord. And my eyes are on the blessed hope, heaven to come. I'm going to share eternity with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. It'll keep you busy all day long. And it'll keep you busy in the night too. He'll give you songs in the night. And when you wake up in the night, you're thinking of scriptures and you're praying. Man, what a way to live. What a way to live. Live for Jesus. Number three, live in faith and die in faith. In your living and in your dying. Sometimes we're living and sometimes we're dying. Not ultimately, but you know how it is in our life. Sometimes we face, you know, a day of pressure and trial. Sometimes we face more than a day. Sometimes we face seasons of trial, difficulty, maybe months, even a few years of battle, of pressure. We live in faith and we die in faith, whatever we're facing. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, gives a list of those who died with a believing spirit. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, were passing through to glory. These all died in faith, and it gives great account of what these people did as they heard a word from God. And you know, that little mustard seed of faith, it grows into the largest of all herbs if you take care of it. Just one word from God and all of a sudden a life and a family and a destiny opens up. These all died in faith. Then we go to verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. Wow. Stop the mouth of lions, quench fire, subdue kingdoms, overcome enemies. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. No prosperity gospel for these. Fighting the good fight of faith. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith. They never gave up their faith. They never gave up their believing spirit, even though they wandered and were scourged and mocked and faced trial and couldn't understand the things they were going through. Some not accepting deliverance because they had their eyes on a better resurrection. These all died in faith, and they obtained a good testimony through faith. Say, well, I know some people that were believing God, claiming His promises, praying, and they didn't have an upturn, they had a downturn. Things went against them. Struggle, difficulty in life, oppression at times, criticism, facing a lot of things. I know some people who went through some very dark times and some difficult things, physically, financially, emotionally, relationally. Say, well, I know some people who were believing God for healing. Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that heals you, and trusting the Lord and believing God and quoting His word and praying and casting themselves on the Lord, and they passed on to glory. Well, they died in faith, didn't they? They didn't die in unbelief. They didn't die in self-pity. They didn't die in negativity. They died believing the promises of God. And because of it, there is a crown awaiting them, a victor's crown in heaven. They kept the faith. Let's have the worship team come. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight to keep a believing spirit, to overcome the devil, the flesh, and the world system. It is a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The good confession. Say what God says. Keep the word of the Lord on our lives. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I must keep the faith. No backing down. I must keep the faith. This is our time. This is my time. We will overcome. When He is with us, we are strong. And love will be our greatest song. We'll keep the faith. Let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Precious Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, the comfort of your Holy Spirit tonight, Lord, and everyone, every situation, Lord. We speak the word. We speak the word, Lord. We call on you and walk in faith. You will guide us and keep us, Lord. Father, every battle, every situation tonight, Lord Jesus. When the pressure's on, I will put my trust in the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We glorify you, Lord. Lord, we'll fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, and we will guard the confession of our lips and serve you and walk with you. And so we thank you tonight. In Jesus' name. Trust that the word is ministered to your life tonight, and take fresh courage and be lifted up in the Lord. The altars are open tonight if anyone would like prayer for any situation or need. Let's keep in mind the personal warfare. Let's keep in mind the cultural warfare. Serve God with all our heart and walk with him. Keep his word on our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's close out in worship tonight.